So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
There's a scene that I often see in my travels, different airports around the world, and no matter what the country or the airport, the scene is really the same. And that is, when I come out of the sliding glass doors from immigration and out into the waiting area, there are always dozens, sometimes hundreds, of people eagerly looking for every single person that walks through that door. And they're there with their presents, with their flowers. Little kids are jumping up and down. They can't wait. And when those doors open and they know that father, mother, brother, cousin, friend, they're walking out that door, the little plastic barriers and the police and whatnot try to keep them back. It never worked. They just rush forward, jump into arms, hugs, kisses. That long wait is over. And then simultaneously, as those people are walking out, being welcomed, and people's long wait is over, there's another group of people standing there, and it's often been me, standing there with a piece of paper with a name on it. And you avert your eyes, you want to look, you have to look at them, because it may be your person, but you don't want to look at them because you don't know who it is. All you know is it's a name. You may be a tour operator, a chauffeur, some kind of company representative. You've been told to go to the airport and wait for someone. And so you go and you wait, feeling silly, feeling humiliated with your little name on a sign. And you hope that that person will make some eye contact. And finally, it's like, okay, and then you shake hands, and then perhaps you begin relationship. These unknown meters, as it were, they're doing their duty. They're supposed to be there. They're being paid to be there. But you really wouldn't call them enthusiastic about waiting. You might say they're just more or less waiting around. What a stark contrast between these two groups. Those who know people, and then those who know a name. Well, Paul writes in our text this morning in Romans, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Can you picture the difference between slavery and sonship? The difference between family warmth and then a cool, dutiful presence. And I wonder this morning, do you feel like a real member of God's family, eagerly looking for a real Jesus to come and meet you in this worship service? And then to meet you again tomorrow morning and to be with you right through the night. Is it Jesus that's going to walk out the door and you know him and you welcome him? Or do you feel like just some kind of sign holding Christian and you've got, yeah, the name Jesus is on your paper and you're sort of looking around and I might recognize Jesus. I'm not totally sure. And in fact, I'm not even totally sure. I really want to know Jesus all that much more. I don't know where that relationship with him would lead in my life. And yet here I am. I'm doing my duty. I see others in the church coming and they're singing and they're excited about the word. They're excited about praying. They get into the Bible study. They follow the sermon and they love to hear about Christ. And I am right there with them. I'm praying, I'm singing, I'm listening. And yet there's a difference. For me to cry out by the Spirit of Christ, Father! That's really getting out of my league. And you may be wondering, will I ever be more than a sign holder in my Christian life, in the body of Christ? Will I ever feel excited about seeing Jesus? Well, here's the beginning of the answer to those heartfelt questions. I want you to see, and you must see from this passage that we read, short as it is, that if you believe that Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is actually, really, literally in your life, with you. And His presence in you is to give you the desire and the freedom to be able to say with enthusiasm, Father. And from this passage, I want to stress two things that the Holy Spirit is committed to doing in your life. First, the Spirit is committed to continually remind you that the Father loves you for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing that the Holy Spirit does is He teaches you how to live for God, even in tough times when God's love seems really, really far away from you. Now, our text says in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's the first thing the Spirit is committed to doing, is reminding you of that continually. It says in a fancy Bible sort of phrase, bears witness. And that's just a more complicated way of saying He just talks to you all the time. If you will be listening, the Spirit will just keep talking to you and keep telling you that you belong to God through Jesus Christ, that you're adopted into His family. The Spirit's desire is to assure you that both the Father and the Son love you as a child. You're not a stranger standing around and on your sign is, Father? Is that you? But rather with real confidence, you can welcome the Father's presence in your life. You can eagerly look each day for Jesus to be in your life. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, God the Father predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Predestined for adoption through Jesus Christ. You are not, as a child of God, some little surprise that came in the family. There were four kids and then suddenly there's a fifth child. And where did that little one come from? Wow, what a surprise. And so God has His church and then, whoops, there's you. The little surprise that God doesn't quite know what to do with. You are not a surprise child to God. He has from all eternity planned for you through Jesus Christ to be His child. For you to be adopted. You are not a surprise, you are planned by the Father. Now, I want us then to look at, for a moment, at this process then of how the Spirit does talk to you about your place in the family. See, it doesn't just happen randomly. There is a plan, there's a way that the Spirit works. In John the Gospel, chapter 15, the words of our own Lord Jesus are these. When the Helper comes, whom I, Jesus, will send to you from the Father, this Helper is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He, the Spirit, will bear witness or talk continually about me. So this is what the Spirit's witness is. He'll be saying to us, your Lord Jesus received the Spirit from the Father. The Father and the Son together have now given that Spirit to you. And the purpose of this Spirit is to keep telling you every day this truth. Jesus gave His life for you that you might be adopted into God's family. And so in all of the chaos and all of your anxieties, the Spirit is going to be saying to you, son, calm down. Daughter, be at peace. You're not an orphan. You are an adopted child. Accept the fact that God is with you. He is on your side. You're not a stranger to Him. And so leave your anxieties and your insecurities behind. And as the Spirit does that work, talking to you from Scripture, pointing you constantly back to the Lord Jesus, you're ready now to give yourself a really good pep talk. TJ and other pastors like to say, around St. Andrews, you need to preach the gospel to yourself. In other words, talk to yourself about Jesus. When he's saying, preach the gospel, I'm just saying, give yourself a pep talk. You can talk to yourself about God. And this is what you can say to yourself. My adoption is true, even if I don't feel all that great right now. The Spirit has talked to my mind, telling me about the Lord Jesus. Now I can say to the Spirit, speak to my heart as well. And when the Spirit speaks to my heart, these are the words that He repeats to me from Jesus in John chapter 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus speaking royally of Himself, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen. You see, I'm not asking you just to take it at face value by what I say. St. Andrews is not saying, look, just take it at face value what we say, that God loves you and that you're adopted. No, we're not asking you to do that. We're saying, go to the Lord Jesus. He is the one who says, I bear witness to what I've seen. What is it that Jesus has seen? He has seen God the Father. He knows the plan of God. He knows the plans that God has for you. He knows about His own love for you, a love that drove Him to give Himself on the cross for you so that you could be adopted. Jesus has seen that. He's experienced that. Now the Spirit is taking what Jesus has seen. And the Spirit sees it as well, because the Bible says the Spirit searches the deep things of God. The Spirit knows the heart of God. The Spirit knows the love of God for you. And He comes and says, my child, listen. Watch Jesus give Himself for you. Look at the love of the Father and the Son on your behalf. My friends, can you believe what Jesus knows to be true? Not what the preacher believes is true. No, but what Jesus knows to be true. That the Father loves you and has adopted you into His family through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Can you trust what Jesus has seen? Can you believe the words of Jesus when He says, behold, Father, I and the children that you've given me. So if I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, then I can make this kind of the poster, as it were, of the dorm room of my life. You know, when college freshmen go off and they get their first dorm room, oh, they're so proud of their space. And they're going to decorate it with the things they believe and the things that state, this is my life and here's my poster. today is the first day of the rest of your life. Wow, how profound. You know, that was one that I had up, and it seemed so great at the time. But here's the poster of the dorm room of my life. The Word of God says I belong to God when I accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And now, because that is true, I can pray, Spirit of Christ, here I am again, needing your help. I need to know again and again that I am adopted because Jesus has paid it all. Free my spirit so that I can sing, Father, soften my rigid heart. I'm tired of just waiting around. That's the first great commitment that the Spirit has made to you. I'm going to encourage God's children. I'm going to be to them Barnabas, son of encouragement. But with that great assignment of encouraging you comes another assignment from the Father, and that is to be your teacher and your helper. Paul says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Those are some very serious words that Paul puts into the text. Words like put to death by the Spirit or led by the Spirit. Why such serious words? Why not just words about encouragement? The Spirit bears witness that I'm a child of God. That's enough for me. No, it's not enough. I need encouragement, but I need life direction each and every day. I need to be led to put to death the old things in my life. I need to be led daily by the Spirit. Why does that have to be in the text? Well, it's because in verse 12, it says that we are debtors. Brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but then by implication, we are debtors to God to live for Him. Now, obviously, we're not talking about mortgages and credit cards, that kind of debt. We've got plenty of that to deal with every day. But we're talking about being debtors in the spirit world. Now, as soon as we start saying that we're debtors, I can feel somebody saying, wait a minute. If I'm a debtor, that kind of reminds me of being an employee. It reminds me of payback. It's like, okay, I ultimately have to settle up with God because I'm in His debt. And a lot of Christians walk around really worried that they're not settled up with God. And they jump on verses like, oh, you're a debtor. But no, we're not debtors in the column that says a perfect life, perfect righteousness. That column is paid by Jesus Christ. That column is just stamped, paid by the blood of Christ. But next to it is another column, a debit column that is a debt of love. You are a debtor of love. To whom do I owe this love? Well, here are the folk in that column. I'm in debt to love the Father who sent His Son to free me from sin. And He did that free of charge. And I'm in debt to the Son who paid an awful price for my life. And I'm in debt to the Holy Spirit who keeps reminding me that I am adopted into the family. And I am in debt to the other family members, you, and all around the world. I'm in debt to you because you share with me the same experience of forgiveness and life. And what happens when I foul up and that happens pretty often, the Spirit always takes me back to the paid column, the cross, the place where forgiveness begins. He never tires of taking you back to the cross. He never tires of reminding you that Jesus paid it all. And then little by little, as I'm in this relationship of being led by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds, going back for more forgiveness, living some more, going back for more forgiveness as I keep doing that. Little by little, as I listen to the Spirit and the Word, He is going to be replacing my bad way of life with the good ways of Jesus. And I know I'll never get it perfectly right. But over time, I actually will see growth and change and more love. And less sinning in the old ways. And lo and behold, I'll be enjoying the Christian life more after all. And rather than the Christian life being a burden as I get older, it becomes even more and more of a delight. So there from this passage, the two great commitments that the Holy Spirit has made to you, to be your Barnabas, to keep encouraging you and reminding you of your adoption, and to give you life direction. The Holy Spirit is doing that because He is preparing you, Paul says, for an inheritance. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. My friends, there is a family glory that's waiting for you. You are going to have the same kind of perfect human life that Jesus has now. All of the frustrations are going to be erased. All of the time pressures are going to be removed. There'll be no more separations between God's children because of death. That is what is awaiting us. That is why the Holy Spirit just loves to keep reminding us that that's our inheritance. But what about that little phrase that Paul slips in, provided we suffer with Him? Why can't it just be encouragement? No, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Why can't it just be encouragement? No, provided we suffer with Him, so that we might be glorified with Him. Why does that have to be in there? Because Paul and God are realists. If you're going to be adopted out of the world, it means that you're going to be put at odds with the spirit of the times. How in the world could you feel comfortable, totally at home in this world, and at the same time say, I'm totally comfortable with living with the Lord in heaven? There's going to be friction, and that friction creates a suffering. It may be physical, psychological, emotional, financial. It'll come in many, many shapes. The Lord Jesus suffered in His day, and He says, I want you to take your share in your day. But thankfully, the suffering is only doled out by the Father's measure. It's never the world that's in control of any kind of suffering that you go through. It's only coming to you as the Father says, okay, I need to give that to this child. But He'll never crush you, even though you may end up being very perplexed at times. And that's okay to say to the Father, what is going on? The Father's not afraid for His children to say, what is going on? He may give you some answer, or He may say, wait. You know, children, when it comes to suffering and for families and those that they respect, children are amazingly brave when they want to protect their family. You know, you'll read about the 3 or 4-year-old who runs into a burning room with smoke and pulls out a family member, wakes up mom or dad on the bed, or gets the phone and calls 911. You say, how can they do that? And there's smoke, there's fire, there's noise. Children can be really brave, and they're willing to suffer. TJ told me the story of some little boys in one of Theo's classes where the kids had to be, sadly, in our day and age, you have to train children about codes, color codes. Red code means under your desk. You know, white code means run in the building, whatever. Well, they were trying to train these little 9-year-old boys, and the little boy said to Theo, no, we're not going to leave Mr. Campo. If he comes in, one is going to grab one leg and the one is going to grab the other leg. And the other boy said, now I'm going to go get the scissors. Why would they do that? because they love their teacher. They're committed. So if they suffer, that's okay, because it's for Him. And so believers are willing to say, provided I suffer with Christ, because I know I'm going to be glorified with Him. I want to finish with a word for three groups or sorts of people here this morning. I want to start first just with believers whose life in the church feels like those rigid sign holders in the airport. You know, you don't have a lot of joy in the Lord, but you'd like to. And you don't know where to begin. Well, I would begin today just by asking the Holy Spirit, right where you are now, to give you warmth and joy in the walk. Ask the Spirit to melt those icy feelings. Take away that spirit of slavery and to give you that spirit of being a son or daughter. Maybe something that's holding you back is that you really are worried about what other people are thinking about you. Well, my answer to that is, you know, if I'm standing there holding a sign, are all those joyful people with flowers and presents jumping up and down, squealing of delight, running and jumping into the arms of their loved one? Are they looking back over their shoulder and saying about this stranger, oh, boy, I wonder what he thinks. Oh, I'm really worried what he thinks about me. You know, they could care less, because they're so overwhelmed by the presence of the loved one. And so, too, you want to get excited about the Lord, but you're afraid. You'd love to raise your hands, but you're afraid. Love to dance, but you're afraid of what people will think. Oh, I think you could be such an encouragement to them. They'll not think you're crazy. And even if you do, hey, you're crazy with love for the Lord. And the second group I wanted to say a word to are believers who really do know your Savior well. You do have that freedom. You do have confidence that you're an adopted child. Well, help the family members who lack joy and hope. Don't judge them. Don't look down on them. Don't feel sorry for them. But remind them that wherever you can, in Bible studies and conversation and whatnot, remind them that they are loved too. And pray for your own heart to be sensitive and alert to our own temptations of presumption and self-righteousness. And then finally, for those who have yet accepted Jesus personally as your life's redeemer and as the director of your life, you're not a family member yet, but you're interested. Well, you know, you could move from interest to knowing you have a place today. The death of Jesus is your open door into heaven. And that door is still open as of right now. Trust Him today. And with your forgiveness from Him, you'll receive a new birth certificate. And that birth certificate is the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to rejoice in your adoption, and you'll be able to join the others in this church in saying about God, my Father, my Lord. Let's pray together. Move among us, Spirit of Christ. Melt us and mold us into the wonderful, beautiful image of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.